nothing like the goodness of the Lord. And I love him. Thankful for the readouts and their hospitality, always making us feel so welcome and loved. And bless each and every one of you for being here today. And I hope this lesson touches your heart and is a blessing to you. This is something that's been on my heart just for about a year. I've been thinking about it. And the topic is wells. And if y'all can go in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 12. And you can stand if you'd like. And I'll go ahead. The Bible says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy." Can you say joy? "Therefore, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation." Amen. You may be seated. It was about 3 years ago, and actually, I don't even know if it is this very date, but 3 years ago, we moved from the city of Las Vegas to life in the country, in a small town in Texas, outside a small town in Texas. And we traded that city life for country life. And we traded our rock yard, because if you've gone to Vegas, you know it's a desert out there, right? And so we had rocks for a front yard and rocks for a backyard, a few trees and bushes. But that was pretty easy maintenance. But we traded that easy maintenance for 3 acres of nothing but maintenance. We traded the no bug policy of Las Vegas, because nothing much can survive in the desert, right? To bugs, and more bugs. And bugs I didn't even know existed, kind of bugs, right? And they somehow thrive in that humidity of South Texas. They just multiply. Amen. We traded the dry heat for steamy heat. And then we traded city water for water wells, because everyone in the country has a water well. Now, this to me was something very new, but I became curious about water wells and how they were dug and how they worked. And for many of you, it's probably a no-brainer. You're probably raised in the country. You know how wells work. But I began to research the history of wells and their importance throughout history and their significance in the Bible. We know that water is a precious commodity. Can you say amen? It's the most prevalent, the most common substance on our earth. In fact, 70% of our earth's surface is water. And 97% of all that water is found in the oceans. Okay, mathematicians, young mathematicians, what's the remaining percentage? Oh, was anybody listening? How much? Oh, 3. Oops. Sister, leave the mathematician. No. So 97%, right? So that leaves about 3% of the earth's water that's considered fresh water. But of all that, just a little over 1%. 1% is considered drinkable. Wow, don't we serve a wonderful God that can sustain us with a little over 1% of the entire earth's surface being drinkable water? He's an amazing God, isn't he? Water is essential for life. Man can't live without it. He could probably only go about 3 to 5 days without water. And in the hot and dry climates of the Bible lands, the availability of water was priceless, because water was boss. Water was necessary for crops, for the animals, for the families to survive. And if you didn't live close to a water source, such as a spring or such as a river, you had to be near a well, because if you didn't have water, you wouldn't survive. And for most of us, we associate Abraham. Well, let me just throw that out there. What is Abraham known for? He was known for building altars. He was known as a friend of God. But he was also known for someone who dug wells. In Genesis chapter 26, and you can go there if you would like, Genesis chapter 26, we read that after Abraham died, there was another famine in the land. So that first famine is when Abraham and Sarah went into the land of Egypt. And this famine that is here now is the other famine that was during Isaac's time. But the Lord told Isaac, don't go to Egypt as Abraham did, but go and dwell in the land that I will tell you to dwell in. So Isaac went to Gerar and he dwelt among Abimelech. Abimelech was the king of the Philistines. So in verse 3, we read that the Lord told Isaac, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, and unto thee and to thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And I can only imagine that Isaac is thinking, what have I done to deserve all of these blessings? I haven't done anything to deserve this. And it's so true. He didn't deserve a thing because we read in verse 5, the Lord is saying, I am doing all this because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes and my laws. So Isaac obeyed the Lord and he dwelt in Gerar. Verse 12 says that Isaac sowed in that land. Can you say that land? That land. We're talking about the land where the famine was, right? Isaac sowed in that land where the famine was. It's not like they could travel down the road 20 miles and be out of a famine, but there was a famine in the land. But because the blessings of Abraham had also been promised and fallen upon Isaac, Isaac sowed in that land, and the Bible says that he received in that same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And that man, he waxed great. He went forward. Can you say he went forward? He went forward. He was great, but then he grew until he became very great. Isn't that awesome? He had possession of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Remember, he was dwelling in the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines envied him. Can you imagine that? Right? They envied Isaac for all the blessings that the Lord had bestowed upon him. Verse 15 says, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them up with earth, or they filled them up with dirt. Now, I began to just read a little bit in the commentaries, and it said the Philistines may have thrown in whatever they could find just to clog up and plug up those wells of Abraham. They thought somehow by throwing in whatever, it's Bible doesn't say, but they may have just thrown in brush. They may have thrown in old dead animal carcasses just to plug up and clog up that flow of that life-giving well. Yep. And that's what they did. They felt that if they could stop up the wells, they could also stop the blessings that God had upon Isaac. And doesn't that sound a little like our spiritual wells? What does our enemy do? He tries to just throw whatever he can find into our lives, right? And I think right now in this day and age, he just throws busyness, right, into our lives. We're so busy, aren't we? He throws financial problems. He throws problems at school, problems on the job, problems in the home into our life. And what does that do? That clogs up our spiritual well, doesn't it? Now, the Bible tells us that Isaac went into the area where the father's servants had dug wells before, and he began to dig again and unclog the old wells. Why didn't Isaac just say, oh, let's forget about these old wells, and let's just dig some new wells. Let's just get a fresh start. Who knows what kind of junk the Philistines have thrown into these wells? Why don't we just dig a new well? But Isaac knew the importance of the old wells. The old wells were his inheritance. The old wells were something that he would in turn pass down to generations after him. And maybe your grandparents dug wells, and they passed those wells down to your parents, who passed them down to you. And many of you, like me, you might be a first-generation apostolic, and you are digging your well to pass down to your children. And in turn, you hope that they pass those wells down to their children. Amen? Can you say amen about the importance of wells? Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for what? The old paths. Amen. The old wells. Where is the good way? And he said, walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Isaac was fine with the old wells because he knew that underneath all the dirt and the junk that the enemy had put in there, that they had thrown in there, that there was still an underground source way down beneath the earth's surface that still flowed clean, that still flowed pure. Amen? Praise God. Digging wells is a whole lot different now than in Bible days, as we can imagine. Modern machinery makes digging a well so much simpler. And the area where we live, it's just well and septic. I mean, if you don't have a well and septic, you're not going to get water and you're not going to have, you know, any conveniences, so to speak. So many times when I drive through the community, I see a new house coming up and then I see the water well rig and they're digging a well. And back in the day, I know that digging was dirty work, it was hard work, and it's still hard work, and it's still really dirty work because they just got mounds of dirt out there, and the guys are out there working just all covered up with dirt. Amen? They're digging those wells. And then I was talking a little bit about unclogging those wells. Amen? Just like Isaac did. He unclogged the wells. And when I say the word unclog, your minds may go to a certain room in your home, right? And if there's a Pentecostal woman or two living in your home, I'm sure you have unclogged a drain or two in your lifetime. It's not a fun job. There's something else in that room that gets clogged sometimes, and Lord knows that is not a fun job, right? So unclogging wells is not a fun job. It's a nasty, dirty job. But just think about the wells that Isaac had to redig. It maybe had that old nasty decaying flesh. I don't know if you've ever smelled a dead animal, but that is just gross. And the muck and the mire, but he began to dig. It was not a fun job. It was hard work and it was dirty work. But he wanted to get that water flowing once again. And I want to encourage us today to unclog our spiritual well, so that we can once again flow freely in the Holy Ghost. We may run into some gravel. We may run into some hard clay. I'm sure we're going to run into some rock and stony places, but we just got to keep digging. Let's redig the wells of personal revival. And as Brother Aber said, revival is not an influx of souls. A revival is something that happens, a renewing, a revitalization in our lives. So let's renew the wells of revival in our life, the wells of fasting, the wells of praying, the wells of personal soul winning, amen, and Bible reading. Those are the wells that we need to renew and unclog in our life. Did you know that some wells in the Bible were so important that they were given names? The very first well that's mentioned in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 16. We read the story of Hagar. She was the Egyptian, and she was with child by Abraham. And because of that, there was a lot of strife going on in that household or that tent hold, right? And Sarah began to mistreat Hagar. And she mistreated her so badly that Hagar fled into the desert place. And she would have died, I'm sure, had she not discovered a well. And that well sustained her during that desert time of her life. Now, during that time, the Lord appeared unto Hagar, and the Lord promised her that he would multiply her seed greatly, and that she would have a son, and she would name that son Ishmael, which means God hears. Isn't that awesome? He said, I want you to name your child Ishmael, which means God hears. And aren't you glad that God hears our cry? When we're out in the desert places and dry places of our life, that God hears us. And because God hears Hagar and God sees Hagar when no one else does, it was at this well that Hagar declared, you are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. I just love that. I love that so much, I'm going to say it again. Amen. Hagar declared, you are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the God who sees me. Isn't that awesome? She received a revelation of God. She saw God. Now, Hagar must have told someone about her encounter that day. I mean, it was just her and the Lord out there. But she must have shared that story with someone, because verse 14 continues and says, and that is why people call the well between Kadesh and Bered, Bir Lahai Roy, which means the well of the living one who sees me. Wow, I'd love to visit that well. I would love to just see that dialogue between Hagar and the Lord. But that well had a name, the well of the living one who sees me. Amen. The Lord hears you and the Lord sees you, even in your desert place. Isn't that awesome? Now, there are wells that Isaac digged, and they were given names as well. The Bible tells us that the herdsmen of Gerar, they strove with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And they said, no, the water is ours. Went back and forth, I'm sure. And so Isaac called the name of that well Esek, because they strove with him. So that well meant argument and opposition. And you know what? Isaac just said, you know what? I don't have time for argument. I don't have time for opposition. I'm choosing my battles wisely. Isn't that a lesson for all of us? And he walked away. And then he dug another well, and they strove for that well too. And so Isaac named that well Sitna, which means contention and quarreling. Whew, he said, I don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for contention and quarreling. Amen? Whether it's in your home or on the job or at school, we don't have time for that. And so they digged another well, and they strove for that one too. And then he removed from there, and he digged another well. And for that one, they did not strive. And he called the name of that well Rehoboth, which means, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So church, don't waste your time with troubled and quarrelsome people. Amen. Just move on, and the Lord will make room for you and make you fruitful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Many times, wells in the Bible were places of divine encounters. In Genesis 24, it was at a well where Abraham's servant sought out and found a wife for Isaac. Her name was Rebekah. In Genesis 29, Jacob found his wife, Rachel. Where? At a well. And in the book of Exodus, Moses found his wife, Zipporah. Where? At a well. In John chapter 4, we read about another well, Jacob's well. Can you imagine all those years and Jacob's well was still in existence, and it still is in existence today? Wow. And there at Jacob's well, Jesus met the Samaritan woman, and he told that woman everything she had ever done, and he gave her living water where she would never have to thirst again. Amen. Praise God. Now, a few times in the Bible, we find that when a well had gone dry and had no water, it actually became a prison. Dry wells become prisons. Think about that. We don't want our well to become dry, do we? Nope. So where did they throw Joseph? They threw him in an empty pit, the Bible says, with no water in it. Now, that pit was most likely an old dried-up cistern or dried-up well. And that dry place became a prison for Joseph. Jeremiah was thrown into a cistern that no longer held water, and it became a prison for Jeremiah as he sunk down into the muck and the mire. And as Brother Aber told us about the Ethiopian eunuch that pulled Jeremiah out of that dry place. Amen. We all need help. When our well no longer flows with a passion for God, it becomes dried out. Amen. But God expects our wells to carry water. And if it doesn't carry water, it becomes a dry place that can turn into a prison. Don't let your dry place, don't let your dry well become a prison. We've got to dig. Can you say dig? We got to dig, folks. Amen. Hosea 10:12 says, "Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." I have a confession to make. I always thought fallow ground just meant it's hard, right? Because he says, break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. But fallow ground is actually ground that's already been plowed. And it's all ready for the seed. But no seed has been placed into that ground. Isn't that something? And it has just remained useless and unproductive. Wow. So the Lord rebuked his people through the prophet Hosea for having left their prepared ground unused and unproductive. Isn't that a lesson to us? Amen. So break up your fallow ground. Now, this is for the older generation. I'm sure many of you remember this story. It happened in October of 1987. There was a little 18-month-old girl that fell into an empty well in Midland, Texas. And that empty well became her prison for the next 58 hours. Can you imagine a little 18-month falling into a well? And that empty well became her prison. This little baby, we know her as Baby Jessica. How many remember the story of Baby Jessica? Yep, it was, back before, it was 24/7, it seemed like. It was always broadcasting, or you're always hearing about this great rescue. But she was just playing in her backyard at her aunt's house, and her mom heard the phone ring. And guess what? That was a time, young people, before cell phones, so she couldn't just pick up her cell phone. She had to go in the house and answer that phone. And while she was in there, the baby stumbled into that empty well. Now, listen to this. That well was 22 foot deep. I don't know how high, 20, maybe as high as that light. I'm just guessing that that's 22 feet. But listen to this. It was only, and not even quite, 8 inches in diameter. And I'm imagining that's about 8 inches. So that's a very small opening. But this little child fell into that little opening. And all the eyes were in the world were on this difficult rescue mission. And it required the use of a rat hole rig. And that's a machine that's normally used to plant telephone poles down into the ground. So the rescue teams would have to drill a deep hole parallel to the well shaft and then dig a parallel tunnel between the two. And they wanted it to pop into the other opening 2 feet below where Baby Jessica was. It took forever to drill the sideways tunnel because the jackhammers, they're designed to go down, not across. So it took a long time, and they ran into obstacles and stones, but they kept digging. Amen. In the meantime, oxygen was pumped down into the well to make sure that the baby Jessica could breathe. A microphone was lowered down in there, and people began to sing nursery rhymes and provide words of comfort for this stressed out little girl. The baby cried and even wailed at times, and hearts were really touched when the baby began to comfort herself singing Winnie the Pooh. On the evening of October 16th, 1987, baby Jessica was lifted out to safety. The photos captured Jessica cradled in the arms of a paramedic. Her head was wrapped with white gauze. Her arms were caked in dirt and her eyes just barely open. Baby Jessica underwent 15 surgeries in the next few years because her foot was like scissored and hanging above her head. They thought that she was going to lose her whole foot, but she just lost her toe to gangrene, but they had to do reconstructive surgery to save her foot. And then she had a small scar from the top of her head to the bridge of her nose. Amen. She's 38 years old now. She doesn't remember a thing that happened. She's married. She has 2 children of her own. And the rescue and survival of this little baby was considered a miracle. That dry well had become her prison. It could have been her tomb, but with the help of others digging, she was recovered and restored. Isn't that an awesome story? Praise God. And you know what? Same is true. We don't have to stay in our dry well situation. Our dry well doesn't need to become our tomb, because there's a remedy. There is a remedy. Aren't you so thankful that the Bible gives us remedies to problems, remedies to situations, instructions? Praise the Lord. We find it in Revelation chapter 2. We read about the letter that was written to the church at Ephesus. And feel free to go there to Revelation chapter 2. And I'm going to take a quick drink. Revelation 2:2 says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my sake hast labored and hast not fainted. I see a whole lot of working and laboring here, don't you? Right? I see they're working. But he said, I have somewhat against you, because thou hast left thy first love. He said, I have somewhat against you. Your well is stopped up, right? The rivers of living water are no longer flowing from you and through you. You have left your first love. You didn't lose it. You left it. But thank the Lord, we're not left without a solution. Amen. This is what I call the three R's. I know Pastor has the eight R's. This is what I call the three R's. Verse 5, he said, remember. Can you say remember? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. So the first R is remember. What do we want to remember? We want to remember where we came from, right? We want to remember what the Lord has done for us. We want to remember when we had nothing and Jesus was our everything. Amen. I remember when I was a young person with no hope, raised in an alcoholic home. I want to remember that. I don't want to forget where the Lord brought me from. But I didn't have a hope and I didn't have a future. But what does the Lord say to us in the book of Jeremiah? He said, I want to give you a hope and a future. I have plans for you. The devil had plans for each and every one of us. But the Lord stepped into our life and said, I have a plan for you. I'm going to give you a hope and I'm going to give you a future. Amen. Don't forget the joy of the Lord. Don't forget the boldness that he had given you. Amen. And don't forget your devotion for the things of God. How you couldn't get enough of his word. How you couldn't get enough of his spirit. Amen. Of praying. Remember from whence thou art fallen. And then number two is repent. Can you say repent? I think a word that could go along with repent is dig. Right? Just start digging. Repent. Unclog your wells. If you remember days where it seemed that you loved Jesus more than you love him today, dig. If you remember times in your life when you followed harder after the Lord than you do today, just dig. Amen. If you recall instances where you just looked for opportunities to witness to people, and now you're just like, you don't want to bother with it, start digging. Amen. If you remember a day when you gave more of your time and your talent and your treasure to the Lord than you do today, then just dig. We're not far, people. We're not far from where we used to be. I am talking to myself. I remember myself. And I want to repent. I want to dig. I want to unclog. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? Our wells get stopped up and plugged up with life. Like I said, it's the busyness of life. Why do you think they call our phones, our iPhones, and our iPads? I think about the five eyes of Satan, right? Woo! What else can we put in there? iPads, iPhones, iPods, everything, I, right? But why do you think they call them devices? Woo! The definition of devices is more than just a mechanical or electrical equipment, right? But the definition, another definition of device, is a plan, a method, or a trick with a particular aim. Oh, can y'all say amen or oh my? Woo! Amen. The Bible tells us don't be ignorant of Satan's what? Devices, his tricks, his plans. And we can begin to unplug our wells by unplugging from this world and its devices. And the Lord has given each and every one of us an instrument. And that instrument fits perfectly in each and every one of our hands. That's called a shovel. And what do we do with a shovel? We dig. Amen. So number one is remember. What's number two? Repent. And number three is repeat. Repeat. Do again the first. Isn't this easy? This is a remedy. Oh, that's another R word. So remember, repent, and then repeat. Just do again the first works. What did you do in the beginning? Like I said, you were a witness. You had boldness. You didn't care, right? You know what? I've come to the conclusion that the world is bold enough to tell me about their lifestyle and their perversions, right? We need to be bold enough to tell them about our Lord. He's never lost a battle. We are on the winning side. Why should we be ashamed? We don't have to blend in with this world. We need to stand out. Praise the Lord. The Bible likens us in the book of Malachi to jewels. He said, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I'm sure I've shared this before, but what does a jeweler do with a jewel to show that jewel off? Does he put it on white velvet or light pink velvet or little blue? No, he puts it on the darkest, deepest, blackest velvet that he has. Why? So that jewel can shine. So that jewel stands out. And we are his jewels. And the Lord has handpicked each and every one of us to blend in? No, to stand out. And he has placed each and every one of us in this dark world so that we can shine for him. Amen. Can you say amen? Go ahead and clap your hands to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Isn't that awesome? He didn't say, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, is going to receive all of this into himself. He said, no, it's all going to flow out of you. Isn't that awesome? Out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. The Lord has given us this river of living water. It needs to flow out from us and through us and into the lives of others. Amen. The river needs to flow out of us into our schools, amen, on our jobs, into our communities. Praise the Lord. Now, the Dead Sea, it only has one inlet, and that's the Jordan River. I mean, it's called the Dead Sea for a reason. Nothing lives there. But it just has an inlet. It has no outlet. Isn't that something? So everything flows into it, but nothing's going out. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Isn't that awesome? You've got to have an outlet. Many years ago, Florence Littauer, she said this, and I think it was really good. It said, impression without expression leads to depression. And isn't that true? We have been impressed upon by wonderful teaching, by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. And if we keep all of that in and we don't have an outlet, what are we going to become? We're going to be depressed, aren't we? But impression without expression leads to depression. Amen. I was just 3 years old in the Lord, and I started to feel this depression. I don't know it was depression, but I just felt a little down and like wonder what's going on. So I went and I talked to my pastor and he said, you know what, Lori, you need to get out of yourself. He just had enough wisdom. He said, you need to find an outlet. You need to give of yourself and find someone that's in maybe a worse state than I was, right? And so he said, why don't you start a nursing home? And so it wasn't, I think that Sunday, I started a nursing home. I would take my guitar into that nursing home and sing the old hymns for these people. Take my Bible and read scripture to them. And don't you know that brought so much joy and pleasure to their lives? Going to a place where maybe the families have forgotten all about them, but you're there and you're bringing, you are dignifying them with a visit and with sharing about the Lord. And you know what? I began to come out of that depression that I was in because I began to express, right? I began to, the living water was flowing out of me and not just into me. Amen. It was about 30 years later, okay, that we were living in Las Vegas, and I began to feel this same little twinge of depression again. And I thought back to what my pastor had said, Lori, it's because everything's coming in and nothing is going out. And so just as I did back in, I was actually living in Missouri at the time, in Missouri when I started that nursing home ministry, I started, there weren't too many nursing homes in Vegas, but they had a lot of group homes, and we had a little bit of connection with a group home. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start a group home ministry. Now, our service in Vegas started at 2 in the afternoon. So I would go there at 10 in the morning. I would take my guitar. I'd have a lesson all ready for them, and I would begin to teach. And there were just a handful of people that would show up for a few months. But soon that little group grew to over 20. And then it grew to over 30 people coming to that group home service. And I was feeling fulfilled because I had an outlet. And if you're feeling just a little bit of maybe depression, or you're like, I don't want to say it's depression, but you're just pressed down, right? Paul was pressed down, praise God, but he wasn't forsaken, and we're not forsaken. Just find an outlet. Find someone to pour into, because the rivers of living water that the Lord gave us were not meant to be kept, not meant just to flow into us, but to flow out of us. Amen? And these people began to have such a hunger for the Lord that since our service started at 2, we began to take them to church, the ones that were physically able to go. And many of them were baptized, and many of them received the Holy Ghost. It was worth it. It was worth it. Amen. So when you feel that same little, find an outlet, whatever your outlet may be, if it's a nursing home or if it's just going on the street or just a one-on-one Bible study, find that outlet because you will find fulfillment. Amen. And I want to leave you with that scripture that we started with, Isaiah 12, 2 through 3. And I want to read that again. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Wow, joy. I want that joy. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I think we were teaching the other night and we just told about where do we get joy? And someone had never heard it, though they had been in church all their life. But you think of joy, J-O-Y. When you put Jesus first, that's J. And you put others next, that's the O. And when you put yourself last, that's the Y. That's how we get joy. Amen. Put Jesus first. Brother Donnie, you have heard that. You have heard that, haven't you? No? Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's a simple concept. There, you're going to write it down. Awesome. So put Jesus first and others next and yourself last, and you will find joy. Amen. Praise God. And like Brother Abra said, if you want to be like Jesus, love people. Because Jesus loved people. Amen. And therefore, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Another word for draw is bail. wow, you're going to bail water out of the wells of salvation. And Jesus' name means Jehovah is salvation. So we are drawing waters, not just from physical wet water, but we are actually drawing and bailing water from Jesus. Amen. And with Jesus, we can't go wrong. We will never fail with the Lord. God bless you all. Thank you so much.